We're now on online, if I can put it like that. Our first one, come now is the time to worship. Come to the Lord in prayer. We come, Lord, to worship you. We come to praise you. We come to thank you, for you are indeed a wonderful God. We thank you for the way that you have been with each one of us. We thank you for the way that we can come to you at any time. Lord, you are wonderful. You are very special to us. But what is perhaps surprising is that we are very special to you. And we thank you, Lord, for that truth. We thank you that we can come to you at any time. We thank you that we can claim the promises that you have given to us in your word. Lord, we love you. And as we continue in worship this morning, we pray, Lord, that we might know your presence, your strength, and your guidance, and your protection. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness.
Glory, glory, glory.
Before Jean shares the reading with us, I want to share something with you, and this is quite happening online. We are a small group, and what we're doing is we are contacting, I've chosen at the moment 11 churches. Only one of them actually is Baptist, and that's up to Mayor. But anyway, what we've done is we've written to them and said, would it be possible for them to put on their notice board or their notices that we would like people, Christians, to come and share with us in our witness to the rest of the pub. And saying that it would be more effective if we had a bigger group. And so we're asking churches if they could have people who would be willing to come once a month. That's all we're asking of the people. But it would be different people each month. And we don't know. I mean, 11 churches, we'll wait and see. There are more churches we could try, but I've tried to find 11 churches that the review of people who've been to their services have said it's good, it's lively.
Can I just say something for you?
Yeah.
I was brought up in Upton Vale because it was the local one, and it was just lovely. And I went to a lovely because
sorry, can you say that again a bit louder?
As a child, yeah.
Well, one of the leaflets that we put out in the past, they sent a team to help us deliver them Upton Vale. So, you know, I think if churches have got people who are willing to help a witness in a pub, they don't have to leave their own church, they'd only come once a month on a rota basis. So I just wanted to share that with you. And now over to God's Word. Thank you, Jean.
The reading this morning, as you can see, is from Luke's Gospel, Chapter 8, verses 1 to 18. The Parable of the Sower. After this, Jesus travelled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out, Joanna, the wife of Chuza, the manager of Herod's household, Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. When he said this, he called out, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." His disciples asked him what this parable meant. He said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that though seeing, they may not see, though hearing, they may not understand." This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart, who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. A lamp on a stand. No one lights a lamp and hides it in a clay jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, they put it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they think they have, will be taken from them.
Thank you very much. Jesus is the name we honour. Jesus is the name we praise. And the chorus says, we will glorify, we will lift him high.
We
Let us come to the Lord in believing prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, our God, our Father, our Savior, we thank you because we know that you care for all people. You care for those who know and love you. You care for those who do not know or love you. There is no distinction. There is no favoritism from you, O Lord. It is your wish that all should become saved, that none should be lost. Oh, what a tremendous God you are. We pray for your world because we know, Lord, that you want people to live together in love. You want them to live in a stage of being willing to reach out and help those that are in need. And so, Lord, we ask that you would guide the leaders of all the different nations. We ask that you would feed the hungry. We ask that you would be with the lonely, that you would be with the sick, that you would be with the dying. Lord, we know that there are many needs in many countries that make up your world. And we ask, Lord, that you will be there and that you will use your people in all nations to help others who have very real needs. And Lord, we pray for our own country, and we pray for the church, Lord, throughout the world. Lord, we thank you for all that your church is doing. We thank you for all your church is doing in this country. And Lord, as we reach out to fellow churches to get their help in our witness, we pray, Lord, that they might respond and that we might have a stronger witness here in the Willow Tree Pub. We pray, Lord, for Jennifer. We pray for Sarah and for the rest of Paul's family. Lord, I don't think we've heard from them about any details of the service for Paul, but Lord, help us to reach out to that family. Help us to make ourselves available if they want us and if they need us. So, Lord, be with them. Help them through this very difficult and sad time. But, Lord, we thank you that Paul, as a believer, is now with you in glory. Lord, we pray for Dennis, for Joan, for Chris, and for Sarah. And Lord, as we mention each name, you know the present situation. And you know, Lord, who you need to reach out to. You know which need each one requires. And so, Lord, for Sarah, we pray, Lord, that you would take away any thoughts of ending her life. Lord, be her strong companion. Give to her a peace that she's not enjoying at the moment. Reach out your hand of love and compassion to her in a way probably she doesn't expect. But Lord, you know the situation and you love her. Be with those that are trying to help. Be with Chris. Be with Dennis and Joan. Lord, they need your help and your guidance and your support at this time. So, Lord, we bring the whole family to you. And, Lord, we thank you for our Sarah. Lord, she may have been rebuked, but, Lord, she loves them. She loves Sarah, and she's tried to work with Sarah over a long period. And we pray, Lord, that you would continue to use Sarah despite any opposition she might receive. So, Lord, bless her in that ministry. We pray for Neil and Karen. Lord, you know what happened, how the recording failed. Lord, we find it difficult to know how the truth can be presented in an official report when all that has been said has not been recorded faithfully. Lord, enter into that situation. We pray for our Bruce here, Lord. He's got to lose weight. Help him in that situation. He's facing an operation. But Lord, not only do we pray him concerning that, but we pray for him, Lord, in all that he does for us. Thank you, Lord, for the way that he is willing to receive the response from those 11 churches that we're trying to reach. We thank you, Lord, that he is always there for us, and we want you to give him the strength that he can continue. Be with him also, Lord, in his concern for his mother and father. Keep them safe, Lord, we pray. Lord, we pray for Dawn, for Emma, for Hannah. And Lord, we pray for Ollie and for any connection that they may have for her. Lord, we miss her. But Lord, we also pray for Sylvia. There's so much we can't understand, Lord. But we know that you are a forgiving God. Help us, Lord. It's not easy to forgive when a person does not claim to have done anything wrong. And yet, Lord, we all know these situations. We've entered them ourselves, and you know us. We have no secrets from you. Lord, we would like healing of all that's mattered with this complaint, that it may be put away and not thought about anymore. So, Lord, have your way in all of these things. And be, Lord, with each one of us here. Be with Brian. Be with his family and friends. Be with our Sarah. Keep her strong, Lord, in her witness. Be with Graham. And particularly, Lord, we pray for his brother and the circumstances that are there at the moment, which appear to be a divided family. Lord, undertake for them. We pray for Bruce again and say, Lord, keep him strong. We pray for Rita. We pray, Lord, that you would be her companion. You know, Lord, she lives on her own. But we thank you for the wider family. We thank you for the way that they keep an eye on Rita. But Lord, we thank you for Rita's discipleship. We thank you for the way that she keeps in touch with people. And we pray that you would continue to use her in your service. We pray for Jean, we pray for Stuart. Lord, we want to see Stuart being able to leave the house. Lord, it's not easy being confined to one place. We pray for a miracle. But Lord, we thank you for what has happened in his life. And we pray that you would continue to strengthen him. We thank you for his faith. Such a wonderful faith, Lord. We thank you for it. We pray for Jean. We pray for the rest of their family. Lord, be all they need at this time. Be their strength. Be their comfort. Pray for Eunice and myself. Lord, thank you for the way that we were able to go to London and the way we were able to reach out to Cliff, Michael, and their family. Thank you for that, Lord. But Lord, for each one of us here, we've probably got thoughts, desires, hopes, worries, concerns that we've not mentioned. But you know them. And we pray, Lord, that you would be the answer to all of these things. We thank you for answered prayer. We thank you for a God who loves us and cares for us. We bring our prayer in the wonderful name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. Blessing and honor, glory and power. And you can see why all these songs today have been about worship and God's glory, because that is what the message is going to be about. Based on scripture, we look at the glory of God and we look at why we need to worship him. First of all, the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 11. Whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. The problem for the Christian is not how to avoid buying and selling, eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. These are all integral parts of the human existence. Sorry. The basic problem is how to avoid being controlled by the power that is behind those things that we've just mentioned, and the power of the evil one himself. It's easy to be tempted, isn't it, and let those things, buying, selling, eating, drinking, marrying, etc., it's easy to let them get out of control. And there is only one solution to this problem. As Christians, we must handle these routine activities for the glory of God. So, we will sell, we will buy, we will eat, we will drink, we will marry. All of those daily things, we are to do them for the glory of God. The example of Bach, Johanna Bach, said this. He inscribed every musical score, sacred or secular, with these words, Sol Gloria Deo. In other words, to God be the glory. So therefore, our activities belong either to God, if we can do them to his glory. If we can't, then our activities probably belong to Satan. That's a terrible thought, isn't it? Remember that in the parable of the sower, Jesus described the seed that fell among thorns like this. The seed that fell among thorns stand for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches and pleasures, and they do not mature. In other words, ordinary things were being used by Satan to spoil God's work, and Satan still tries to do that today. Oh, says someone, I must have that dress, or I must have that record, or I must have that car. Oh, I must have it. Must you? Must we? We may retort that you don't pray about such things, but we should. We should pray when we're thinking of buying a car or any of those other ordinary things. Because if we don't pray, it could be that things get out of proportion and we may well come under the power that controls it all. Even with the most ordinary decisions and activities, our lives need to be centered in Christ and his glory. And that way our choices and actions will contribute to God's kingdom and not to Satan's. So the glory must be for God. And you've probably heard me say in prayers or at the end of prayers, may the glory be to you, O God, alone. I wonder sometimes, those of us who are in leadership positions can be so easily tempted to think that we're good. God is good. I've got to confess, I could never stand up in public if it wasn't for the Spirit working in me. I was amazed when I first accomplished speaking in public. And I knew from the beginning it wasn't me. It was far greater power. Right, so we need to do things for the glory of God. But why do we need to worship God? Revelations 4, verse 8. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And in this verse, we are given three reasons for worshipping. The first, he is to be worshipped for his holiness. It starts, holy, holy, holy. The word holy, repeated three times, emphasizes God's exceeding, unimaginable holiness. We can't imagine the greatness of his holiness. When the sun shines in great strength, plants with their roots deep in the soil grow. But those whose roots are not in the soil, they wither up. Similarly, if we are rooted and grounded in the soil of God's love, then we can blossom and flourish and not be shriveled up as disciples. Once we understand the holiness of God, we will worship him more fervently, more enthusiastically, for his incredible mercy in Jesus. The fact that he is so holy makes his forgiveness all the more amazing. And surely, therefore, it calls for our deepest worship. Secondly, from the same verse, God is worshipped for his complete power and authority. It says in that verse in Revelation, the Lord God Almighty. The first Christians, in the midst of their suffering, needed to know that truth, and so do we. A vicar, while preaching on suffering, once said, "What would you say if I dropped down dead?" Not long afterwards, he did just that. One of the things written in a letter to his widow was this. I don't know how she took it, but this is what was said. The Lord reigns. The Lord was reigning in that situation. I don't know how the lady took it. Thirdly, God is worshipped for his changelessness. He is who he was and who he is and who he is to come. In other words, God does not change. And this is a fantastic truth that we can hold on to. And that is great. We live, in other words, in a world of change, don't we? We see so many changes. But God does not change. He is the Eternal One. He is the great I Am, who is always present and sees our innermost being. As I've said several times, we have no secret from God. When we realize all of this, we will take care to draw near to worship God, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us, what from? From a guilty conscience. And that's what Hebrews 10:22 tells us. So God alone deserves to be glorified. And one important way we can do this is to worship him. Now I have daily bread. And if you read Daily Bread, you may know that apart from the daily devotions, at the beginning of November, there is just a special thing. It's not for the 31st of October or the 1st of November, but it was entitled The Benefits of Worship. And I thought, oh, I must read it. You may have read it yourself already. The Westminster Shorter Catechism of Faith states, man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. To glorify God, that's worship. To enjoy him forever, that's all-compassioning a reward that includes these benefits. And here they are. This is what I want to share with you. forgiveness. And that a verse of scripture for all of them. True worship recognizes God's holiness and accepts his forgiveness. Through worship, we are purified. And then the next one is guidance. Those who honor God will be given wisdom and will receive his guidance day by day. Provision. Jesus said that God will meet our material needs if we give him first place in our lives. Love. The love of God is experienced in the hearts of all those who are true worshippers. Power. To all who give God the glory he deserves, he gives the enablement to do the things that he requires of us. In other words, things that we couldn't do on our own, he gives us the power to do them if they are the things that give him the glory. Protection. He faithfully watches over all who acknowledge him, and he keeps them in all of life's changing circumstances. He protects us, whatever the change. And the last one, glory. All true worshippers will one day be glorified. They inherit a new heaven and a new earth, and they join a company of believers and angels in perfect, uninterrupted worship. And they give a verse for every one of those. And I thought, as we're talking about worship and glory, then I just felt I had to share that with you. So there we are. And now we're going to sing a lovely hymn. One of my favorites. It's an old one, but we sung this at most of my major events, including my wedding, or our wedding, I should say. To God be the glory, great things he has done.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord.
just stand, join hands, and say the grace. The grace of Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, Jesus, be with us all evermore. Amen.